Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
When China opened its door to foreigners in the late 1970s, I was among the first 7,000 to be granted a visa to see the land described as a sleeping giant. For decades, Chinese friends had been denied what we take for granted: freedom of expression and certainly freedom of religion. The group I was traveling with was an international one, with people from all over the world. At dinner one evening, a fellow traveler from Britain told of a strange encounter with a youth on the street who was searching for a Bible. "Do you have a Bible?" asked the young man. Taken by surprise, the tourist replied, "Yes. Is it with you?" "No, it's part of my library at home." Somewhat disappointed, the youth then asked, "Do you read your Bible?" "No," came the somewhat embarrassing reply. Then, puzzled, the lad asked, "If you have a Bible, why don't you read it?" Good question. Not only for the British tourist who was not a practicing Christian, but also for us who believe in God and His Son Jesus Christ, but rarely ever read the Bible. Yes, we intend to read it at the end of the day, or so we say to ourselves. Or, "I'll get up early tomorrow morning and take some time to get into the Word." But some way our intentions fade in light of the rush of getting to the office or school, scanning the news for a few minutes, or trying to get the kids dressed and fed and off to school. Bottom line, why don't we make the time when we say that we believe this is God's Word and very valuable? In times of a crisis, we dust off the old book. Sure enough, the doctor says things are not going well. We search for Psalm 23 or a verse that will bring comfort. When bombs go off, soldiers are deployed, the earth quakes, or business fails, we remember our Bibles. Helen Keller, a remarkable woman who challenged the lives of many in spite of her blindness, once said, "I have often thought that it would be a blessing if human beings were stricken blind and deaf for a few days at some time during their adult lives. Darkness would make them more appreciative of sight. Silence would teach them the joys of sound." God didn't give us this book to grace our bookshelves or have in our home as though its very presence would give us good luck and chase away the little devils that plague us with trouble. He gave it to us so that we might know how to live, how to order our lives, how to relate to each other in a family, how to run our business, how to make sure we get to heaven when we die. For years, the Bible has been and is still the best-selling book in the entire world. But I wonder if the Bible is really the best-read book in all the world. Researchers say that 88% of us own at least one Bible, most 4 copies, but less than half of those who own them ever open them and read them. George Gallup Jr. summed it up well, saying, "People revere the Bible, but they don't read it. That's what it comes down to." The question of that young man in China, seeking to find a Bible for himself, still rings in my ears. If you have a Bible, why don't you read it? How would you answer that, friend? Could it be the real answer is the same problem as plagued the Ephesians a generation after they first heard the Word? "I hold this against you," said the Almighty. "You have forsaken your first love." Some way, somehow, we still have time for what we consider to be important. May God help us to get our priorities straightened out.
You've just heard Dr. Harold Sala with Guidelines for Living. If you'd like to listen to the program again, download a copy, subscribe to our devotional, or view other resources, visit guidelines.org. We would like to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@guidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again for the next edition of Guidelines.